Our present meditation is on the re-Christianization of America by the laity. The re-Christianization of America by the laity. All that we know from experience, all that we read, our media, indicate that a once Christian nation, which America had been, has become de-Christianized. Our love for our country just makes the realization more serious, but I would also add, should be more inspiring. Only God knows why our nation has lost so many of its once strongly established Christian principles. One reason I have to say it is because we Catholics, since the foundation of our nation over 200 years ago, have not been as zealous, change the word, as apostolic as they should have been. Of course, the United States is not singled out by the Second Vatican Council. Our experience here in America can be duplicated in more than one nation. Canada, France, Germany. The first question that we raise, therefore, is how should the laity be trained for the Christian renewal of society? All I've done is changed the words Christian renewal to re-Christianization. They're talking about training. It comes in four parts. The council tells us, I repeat, the most authoritative source of teaching that we have in the Catholic Church, always, of course, backed by the Vicar of Christ. First, the laity should be instructed in the true meaning and value of the goods of this world. Believe me, that is no platitude. What we need to do is first of all ourselves understand, and then teach others to recognize the true meaning and value of the goods of this world. And the key word is this world. What is the true meaning of this world? The world of space and time. The true meaning of this world is it is a means to that eternal world where God is King of the universe, where God is Master. In other words, this world has only as much meaning as it is a source and channel of grace to reach the only, I don't want to say real world, or the only world for which we are living in this world. I cannot exaggerate the importance of seeing everything in our lives, and I mean everything. Every pleasure, every pain, every success, every disappointment, as a means. It's a channel of grace to enable us to reach that destiny for which we were all made. Secondly, we're talking about the training of the lay faithful. They should be trained to experience the right use of temporal goods and how institutions are organized. In other words, what we need to learn is the right use of the material things that God has placed in such plenitude into our lives. Over the years of my priesthood, I've given many retreats. Remember one retreat in Wisconsin. Only multimillionaires could attend the retreat. Invited, of course, by a multimillionaire. My theme for the retreat was, it is very difficult for the rich to reach heaven. Having told them how hard it was to reach heaven, well, how do we reach heaven? Spent 3 days telling them. The key word, of course, is the right use. And the first beatitude could not be clearer. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Question. Can people who are actually wealthy be poor in spirit? Yes. Can people who are poor, actually poor, not be poor in spirit? Yes. It all depends on where our heart is. And the same recommendation, better, directive of the council, to learn how institutions are organized. Because the children of this world, as Christ tells us, are so much wiser than the children of light. And they were especially wiser in how to organize. And working together can achieve what individually could never be done. Thirdly, how should the laity be trained to re-Christianize, for our purpose, America? To understand, third recommendation, understand how the common good is to be served in the light of the Church's moral and social teaching. In other words, now, almost 20 centuries of the Church's teaching of the moral order gives us principles on how to not just improve human society, so that less people will be hungry. More people will have respectable jobs. In so many ways, if we are going to exercise our apostolic zeal, we must take into account the need for re-Christianizing the social order in which we live. Finally, the laity should be trained in the concrete and practical knowledge of how to apply the principles of their faith in daily life. In other words, it is one thing to know as a fruit of the retreat what God wants me to do in my life. It is something else to know how I should do it. And this is where, when I mentioned the beginning of the retreat, I will now say, I strongly urge you to make a daily inventory of your spiritual life, otherwise known as a daily examine of conscience. It is not enough to have the true faith, not even enough to have good intentions. Our spiritual life must be practical, realistic, and the best way that I know, always, of course, always, prayer. Pray more fervently. But, I repeat, daily, make an inventory of your behavior during the past day. As I told you, the Lord spares me this September the 1st. It'll be 60 years in the Society of Jesus. From the first days of the novitiate, we were told to make a twice daily examination of conscience. No credit to me. I've been doing it for now 59 years. Mine is June, July, and August. 59 years and, 8.5 months. Over the years, I've talked to professionals in various fields. I cannot tell you how valuable will be your daily examine. That's the term, by the way. Not examination, but examine, E-N, of conscience can be. I have asked this question in some retreat over now the years. The last book you'd expect me to recommend, the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin. Father, please. Now Benjamin Franklin was not even, he might have called himself a Christian. He was surely not a Catholic. But after our nation was founded, he was, among other jobs that he had, he was ambassador to France. And he tells us in his autobiography, he met some Jesuits. Oh, good Jesuits. He learned about the daily examine of conscience. Being an honest man, he realized he does have some failings. He figured, just to be mathematical about it, he must have 12 principal failings in his moral life. So he divided the year into, well, what else? 12 months. He concentrated for each month on one of his 12 major failings. And then he made an examine of conscience. Depending on the edition of the autobiography you get, there's even a sketch of Ben Franklin's examine of conscience. Each day he would jot down how well he, Benjamin Franklin, had avoided the failing that he knew he was nasty prone to. And by the way, incidentally, among his failings was, you'd never guess. When the 18th Amendment was passed in the United States, he had to watch his drinking of alcoholic beverage. Keep a record. I've been doing this, I repeat, for almost 60 years. Be practical. And I assure you, in the measure that we reform our lives, I have to use the verb, and I'm speaking always first for myself. In the measure that we reform our lives, in that measure will Christ use us as channels of his grace. Next question. By the way, I spared you the arithmetic. This to be published catechism on the lay apostolate. The questions are numbered. This is number 85. 89 questions to the manuscript. Question 85. How should the laity be trained for works of Christian charity and mercy? Notice we're talking about training. Think of all the training over the years we've received. The years of schooling, a class, you name it, what subject? It is training. Training to be agents of Christ and bringing souls either back to the Savior or bring him to those who never even knew his name. Question. How should the laity be trained for works of Christian charity and mercy? And remember, you don't convert anyone, hear it. You convert no one intellectually unless you have reached him through the practice of love. Truth is indeed what the mind needs, even to stay alive. For the avenue of proclaiming the truth and having it accepted is love. Here the practice of charity and mercy, says the Council. This training should begin in childhood. From their earliest years, the children should be taught to sympathize with the suffering and the wants of others, and taught how to share with others who are in need. How this needs to be emphasized in today's self-idolatrous world. In other words, to give, trained to give up, and the hardest, trained to give in. And the sooner the training begins, the better. If we not receive that training ourselves in our younger years, never too late to start. Who in my life needs what I can give that person? Take as simple a thing as receiving a letter. Do we enjoy receiving letters? Even long ones. Do we naturally, spontaneously enjoy writing letters? I'm speaking to men, masculine gender. Except by the grace of God, we are not naturally inclined to write letters. Ask yourselves, are there any unanswered letters? Are there people who would be just thrilled to hear from me? Talking to men who had worked, say, in the armed forces, and during now, for me, several wars that I've spanned. When the mail came, the man just eager. Here's a letter for me. Of course, I can multiply examples of the practice of charity. Multiply 1,000 times. And mercy. Mercy has 12 standard meanings. Among the meanings that I like, mercy is showing love to those who show no love to me. If we're going to convert people to Christ, we must practice mercy. Let me tell you, I've lived long enough to say this. Some of the hardest persons in our lives are those who most need the grace that we can be channels for communicating to them, provided we show our merciful love We continue. What are some of the aids now available for the lay apostolate? Among others, the Second Vatican Council identifies sessions, congresses, recollections, retreats, frequent meetings, conferences, books, and periodicals. Needed to say, this happens to be question and answer 86. I figured, having drafted the manuscript, maybe I should put it into practice. Give a whole retreat on the lay apostolate. Meetings of like-minded and like-believing people. And I repeat, planning strategically. How can we bring Christ to people who don't believe in Him or the true Christ to people who are believing in the Christ who is a figment of their own imagination? Meet with people. Friendly, kind, I would even say jovial. But don't waste time in just talking about nothing. Plan your conversations. It is over 50 years ago. It was recommended by a Jesuit spiritual father, as we called it, for us scholastics, to go back in memory and jot down interesting episodes, stories, incidents in my life to be used in conversation. Less than 2 months, he had over 250. That was 50 years ago. There was such a thing as entertaining people spiritually. Conferences. There are people who are better organizers than others. Some of you, I'm sure, have organized all kinds of meetings and conferences over the years. Well, use the talent that God gave you. Maybe the first one in your life. Organize a meeting of fellow Catholics who are as deep in their faith as you are. What can we do to help either so and so or this group or society? As some of you know, we've been having teleconferences usually every 2 weeks nationally. What joy to be told before the conference began, Protestant churches, the congregation gathered together. Oh no! Listening to a Catholic priest speaking to them in their own, in their own church. But the key, I repeat, is you must love. And that's not a cheap word. You must love these people. Love them so deeply and so dearly. You want to share with them what you in God's goodness possess and they lack. Books and periodicals. As some of you by now know, I encourage people to write for publication. I'm speaking this to all of you. Father, I know it's getting late in the day. You must be tired. Not my mind. I told some of you, it's Father Brown, with whom we are together giving this retreat. Some months ago, he stopped in my office in Detroit. Did I tell you this story? Today? No. And he had bought 3 paperbacks, put them on the desk next to where we were sitting, and noticed they were written by a Father John Powell. John Powell was my student in first year theology. Bright and could write well. John ever thought of publishing. Who, me? Yes, you. No, thanks. I kept after him. Finally, he gave in. Back to Father Brown at the 3 paperbacks. I turned one of the 3 paperbacks, all 3 separate books by Father John Powell. Look to the back in one of these books. It stated, there are now 9 million copies of Father Powell's books in print. Am I telling you something? Right. That's spelled W-R-I-T-E. And it's followed by an exclamation mark. It's the imperative mood of that verb. Right. Or the stories I could tell. Right. Over the years, I've told so many people. Most persons I know can talk without thinking. But you cannot write without thinking. You can scrawl. You can scratch. But you cannot write. This, the church tells us, is one of the means God has given us for sharing our faith, deep, loving faith convictions with others. Next question. What is the purpose of these aids to the lay apostolate? The aid we've just briefly identified. Their purpose is to enable the laity to deepen their knowledge of sacred scripture and Catholic doctrine, to nourish their own spiritual life, to become acquainted with world conditions, and thus find suitable and effective means for meeting the desperate need for Christ and His truth in the modern world. How I like that closing sentence. To meet the desperate need for Christ and His truth in a modern world. We have Jesus Christ. We believe in Him. We have Him here on the altar in the Blessed Sacrament. The same Jesus who Mary carried for 9 months in her womb. The same Jesus who died on the cross for our salvation. I'll never forget one of my students in graduate school in New York, where I was teaching, was a lawyer. He told me everybody in the law office, his fellow partners, all the secretaries, everybody was Jewish. He was the only Christian in the whole firm. He was writing his term paper. Well, he wrote it out, and his secretary, a Jewish girl, typed the term paper. He was a good lawyer, but a bad typist. Well, she was typing the term paper. When she finished, she asked her boss. She knew this was his term paper for class. Is there any possibility of my meeting your teacher? A Jewish girl in all but Jewish law firm. We thought it could be arranged. He called me up. He told his fellow partners in the law office, I've got important business in Upper Manhattan, and my secretary must be with me. Important business? By all means. He brought the secretary. He left the room to get a bite to eat. She told me, listen to this. 4 years now, I am Jewish. I believe the Messiah was foretold by the prophets. But I take a quick lunch. I look around to see nobody is watching me. And she said, use the verb, I steal into St. John's Church in Lower Manhattan. And I sit in the back pew. And I believe the Messiah is here. Needless to say, she became a Catholic. Dating a man she was going to marry. A Catholic who had given up his faith. Finishing his doctorate in Oxford. She informed him, keeping silent about her becoming a Catholic, wrote to him, I will marry only a good practicing Catholic. Poor fellow. I found another Jesuit to officiate at the wedding. Jesus Christ is on earth. We've got to believe it and live as persons who believe that the Son of God, who became the Son of Mary, is among us, and when we receive Him, within us. The council speaking of a desperate world, desperate need for Christ. these are not words, not poetry. It's reality. As I think I've told you on some occasion, our record at the State University where I taught was 3 suicides in 2 weeks among the college students. Desperate. What's the meaning of life? Oh, how the world needs what we have to offer it. Next question.